there was one man that stayed in his clothes all 7 days. So you can imagine what this plane smelt like.
Dizwins Radio episode 582 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode of the show, just want to take a minute and remind you of something that can be easy to forget this time of year, but fall race season is coming. You know, as this episode goes out, kind of right about smack dab in the middle of June, you know, it's time to start looking at your fall races. You know, September races are coming quick. October isn't far behind. And, you know, when you start to get into November, it's pretty heavy race season as well. And, you know, the saying goes that fall PRs are made in the summer heat and humidity, or something like that. The saying's something like that. And it's true. I mean, the work you do now definitely matters for the fall races. And, you know, if you've got big goals for your races this fall and you might need a little help getting there, let me know. We got some options available. Of course, there's the book, BeReadyOnRaceDay.com. And if you need a little bit more, or if you would like a little bit more guidance, a little bit more, instruction, and you can just do as I say, coaching options are available as well. The training plan options are there. The coterie is closed at the moment, but it'll be opening up in about another month. And we do have some room at the one-to-one level as well. So if any of those types of things, if you want some more information, head over to dizruns.com/coaching. That page is going to be updated here pretty quick as well, but it's still, you know, it's still good right now. And near the bottom of that page is the link to get you to each of the different levels. You can find out kind of what is going on at each level, what you get, what is removed as you go, you know, down the price scale from the one-to-one to the coterie to the training plan. And as always, if you have any questions about any of the options or just anything in general, please let me know. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today we are catching up with a woman that was on the show a couple of years ago, actually, and to be honest, this round two is probably at least a year overdue. In our first chat, she shared some of her story, including the moment at mile 19 of the 2005 Marine Corps Marathon, when she realized that something was pretty seriously wrong, and ultimately found out that something that was wrong was a tumor in her brain. Since that diagnosis and obviously the treatment and recovery and everything that's going on since that moment, she's been focused on raising funds and awareness in an attempt to find a cure for brain cancer. And last year, that effort quite literally took her around the world. So we definitely have a lot of catching up to do, finding out, you know, both of what has happened and what's still to come. But I'm definitely excited to be able to finally welcome Miss Bethann Telford back to the show. Thanks for coming back and joining us, Bethann. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to speak with you today. It's been, like you said, way overdue.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, lots of things to catch up on. But first, just let everybody know where to find you if, you know, if they haven't already connected with you, and certainly would encourage them to do so. So teambt.org is the website, on Instagram at hope.is.my.word, and on the Twitters at teambt.org. 2010 team BT 2010. And if you missed the first episode, which, you know, has a lot of great backstory and all kinds of good stuff that, obviously we can't get into all of it again today. Definitely go back and check it out. It's episode 264. So it may have fallen off of your podcast feed. I know it's fallen off of mine, but, you can definitely find it on the website, dizruns.com/264. And, the link for today's show notes, if you want to go back and check out any of the links, contact information for Bethann, whatever we talk about, photos, all the good stuff, dizruns.com/582 will take you to the show notes for today's chat. So, Bethann, you know, some things, you know, change over time and some things stay the same. And one of the things that has definitely stayed the same on the show, actually since day one, but certainly since when we chatted last, is the introductory question. So I'm still going to ask the same question and see if the answer has changed, if it's different, if it's still the same thing. But just a great way to start every conversation, even if it's a follow-up repeat type of second chat. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Well, I really, that's a hard question to answer. But if I had my choice between a 5K, a marathon, or a 50K, 100K, I would say the marathon, and it would be the Marine Corps. And obviously, due to the fact that that Marine Corps, the 26.2 miles, was where my journey started, and I was able to make a difference in the community of brain tumors, brain cancer. But I also really enjoy the 5Ks when you get to help fundraise for people, more so than 26.2, because people get a little excited that that's a long mile to start to fundraise or start to run. So 5Ks are always fun. And I think I had mentioned before that, you know, May is Brain Cancer Month. And every May for the last 15 years, I've been doing this Race for Hope right here in Washington, D.C., which is the largest 5K for brain cancer and brain tumors. And it's just a day that, you know, the 5K, I enjoy. I run it fast. I try to win as the survivor of brain cancer. And I'm out there with all my friends running and just enjoying life and celebrating those that actually are walking it or are just being there to support.
Yeah. And like you said, with the 5K, especially from the fundraising angle, it's something that's doable for most folks, even if they are just, you know, quote unquote, just walking. You know, it's all good versus, you know, yeah, if you start to go to longer distances, that can be scary. It can be scary for anybody, but certainly for those that aren't already in the running endurance sport type of arena.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of people, they want to be healthy, but yet they get a little excited, even with a half marathon, 13.1. You know, so a 5K, you can run, walk it, or you could walk it, or you could stroller it. So, yeah, I love those because 5Ks are more doable, like you said. Plus, the atmosphere is different. It's not as intense. I mean, you're doing all this training for a half marathon, marathon, 50K, whatever, going around the world. And it's just so intense, and people don't chat that much. You know, you got fun ones, but then, you know, the 5Ks are just a way to give back, I think.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. And you mentioned it's the biggest 5K for dedicated towards brain cancer research, treatment, cure. How big is that race?
Well, so far in the 20 years that it's been running, they've raised over $30 million. And every year we have about 11,000 participants. And in those 11,000, there's about 300 of us that are survivors. And then, of course, families that have lost a loved one. But it's huge. It is run by Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure, which is the foundation that I fight for right here in Washington, D.C., started by Gene and Steve Case, who started AOL. And they're very, you know, well-known around the world for entrepreneur transactions. And it's also run by National Brain Tumor Society up there in Boston. So they split the funds to find a cure. But it's just an awesome day. It's, you know, right on Freedom Plaza, and it comes up around the Capitol. And our star person is David Cook from American Idol, who runs it and who lost his brother to brain cancer.
Gotcha. From a logistical standpoint, running wise, 11,000 people for a 5K sounds like, it's a crowded course that doesn't have any time to spread out, other than the fact that there you have a mix of people, some running fast, some walking and everything in between. But it sounds like it'd be a pretty crowded day for 3.1 miles.
Well, it is. And, you know, unfortunately, most of them are walking because they're ill or they're, you know, with their family member. But for me, like I said, I try to win it every year as a survivor. This year, I wanted my girlfriend to win it because it happened to be one of her milestones. And I thought, wow, what a way to give up. So I enjoyed it. There was bands on the way. So I stopped and I actually was the, you know, conductor. So I goofed around, but then I did race and then she ended up winning this year. But for us that are faster, the field, of course, they had some really good track people that come out just to run 5Ks to get ready for other distances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm always in the front of that 5K. So it's always nice because people are rooting for you and they see me in a different colored shirt that makes us stand out from the regular run walkers, so they know to support that person because they are living with a brain tumor.
Gotcha. So, well, I mean, it's such a, you know, I feel like, and this may sound worse than what I mean it to, and I certainly don't mean anything disparaging, but, you know, I feel like there's always, at least here where I live, there's always a 5K. It seems like just everybody, just about every weekend, you know, there's a 5K for this cause, for that cause. And it's great, to be able to support, to give back to causes that are near and dear to you. But obviously for you, someone who's, you know, like we talked about the first time, I mean, you can point to the spot on the course basically where you knew something wasn't right. And that ended up being diagnosed and, you know, Edgar, I believe was what you had
exactly.
The tumor. And so obviously, you know, very near and dear to you, something that you're passionate for and fighting for, and being able to go back and do that type of thing and still run it and race it and have, you know, and just, I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to kind of bring everything together and allow other people to help support the cause as well, whether they themselves have had a brain cancer issue, family member, or just wanting to support, you know, a cause that nobody wants to find out that something that their child, that their spouse, that their parent, that friend, family has to deal with that. So, you know, what an awesome time. Even if it is a 5K, which everybody that listens to the show knows is not exactly my cup of tea.
No,
if you're going to do it, you might as well do one for a good cause.
You know, it's nice that people like myself or the other people that you have on that are, you know, talented or more endurance, that they show up and support these people that are coming out and just, you know, going from couch to 5K, which we discussed in the last podcast. But it's nice to see, you know, like Michael Wardian come out and he did one this morning for an event to raise money and awareness, just to have us out there to support. Needless to say, I was there because of my brain tumor, but I have friends that asked me to come out to other 5Ks that support other things, just to have someone that has done something remarkable or is more advanced and knows running and can help others. And I think that's important to be able to, you know, be humble a little bit, and, you know, do your 50Ks, 100Ks, go around the world, but yet give back and show them that, yeah, you know, I trained for 5Ks. That's how I got to my, you know, 50K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And something I think that some of us can be a little bit guilty of forgetting that, you know, we started somewhere, you know, and maybe it was at the high school track. Maybe it was after college and you were doing it for fitness and you were run, walking a mile every day or whatever. And now, you know, fast forward 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, and you're doing whatever you're doing. I've seen it and I hope I've not been guilty of it where, you know, some of the more veteran runners kind of, maybe look down just a little bit sometimes at the new folks. And it's great to see folks, the majority of folks in the running community support the new runners, because we were all there at one point and, you know, if people feel supported, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep running for causes. They're going to keep encouraging other people to start running. And it's a win-win if we can just be friendly and help each other out along the way.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the around the world thing a couple of times, and I mentioned it in the intro, and it was something that we talked about, kind of, it was still in the planning stages the first time we chatted. But I am super curious about that. I mean, I've read a little bit and seen some things, but I would rather hear it from you, more of the details a little bit. So, last year, 2017, you took part in the World Marathon Challenge of running a marathon on every continent in a week's time. So it was one after the other, literally going around the world. So I don't know exactly where the best place to start with, other than what an opportunity, what an experience. How you know, from a bird's eye view, how was that that week of running for you?
Well, you know what, Denny, it just went so incredibly fast. And, you know, the 3 days that we spent in Antarctica to get ready, we flew from Chile to Antarctica in a Russian cargo plane, which was just, it blew my mind. One, it was huge. Two, everyone sits in the cargo area where you're bringing in supplies for the camp that we had entered into. And then also the pilots are right there. You see everything. Mm-hmm. So that was just, it just blew me away. And the Russians were were riding, driving the plane, you know, and we landed in Antarctica and we had 3 days. And that's when I got to really meet Ryan Hall instead of texting or emailing him and getting ready for this event. And we hit it off, you know, a lot of us, we played volleyball. I learned how to play Jenga in the 3 days to calm my nerves. I've never played that. The guys were talking about who's going to be the fastest. The women, I think we were just all really scared. Mm-hmm. And I got a snowball battle with Ryan. We, you know, went out on mountain bikes. So we really got acclimated to the area, and we were waiting for the time to find out what day we would run with the weather. And then as soon as we were completed with the 26.2 marathon, when we would depart on the Russian cargo plane. So it was all based on the timing of landing the plane and then getting the plane back in the air to go back to Chile. So that's how we based the Antarctica race. And it was a series of, I believe, 5 loops around this camp. And the morning that we ran it, it was just absolutely beautiful. It was a sunny day, cold, of course, but it was perfect. And we had to be packed prior so that after we were done running, you had the option to just change real quick and then get onto the cargo plane so we could take off in time with weather coming in. Well, halfway through the marathon, lo and behold, a huge storm came through. So I was running through snow up to my knees. We still took off, you know, in the appropriate time, but it was a little sketchy there, you know, for a moment. The great thing about Antarctica, though, was that there was these 4 explorers out there exploring parts of Antarctica that had never been looked at before. Wow. And they had decided to come in a day early to meet the runners, because at the same time of the World Marathon Challenge, the race director, Richard Donovan, was running the 100 miler the day prior. So he had those contestants doing it. And these 4 explorers heard about this, came in a day early, and one of them wanted to meet the girl that was from United States, and he had heard about me and heard about my backstory with my brain tumor. And he happens to be from Virginia, where I reside part-time working in Washington, D.C. And he works for the governor in the environmental end of it. And he ended up crewing for me the whole 26.2. And how he did it was on cross-country skis. So he crewed the whole way. It was absolutely wonderful. When we got back, the governor of Virginia gave him and I a proclamation that was outstanding. And that was very emotional. It was a great picture of him and I at the finish line. So then after Antarctica, of course, right away after we ran the 26.2, it didn't matter if you were fast, where Michael Wardian, of course, took the first one, which I was surprised by, because there was some athletes that were just incredible from Britain. These guys were from the Invictus Games, and we had very well-known triathletes. So it was kind of up in the air, but Michael, you know, just went out there and, of course, looks like a butterfly. Right. And, you know, he's amazing to watch him. And then, you know, he comes out and makes sure that the last person was finished. You know, that is another thing. Over the 7 days, we gathered such a great friendship where we all supported each other. It wasn't competitive. The whole thing was we wanted each other to complete the 7 days and the 7 marathons in the time frame. So that was what was cool about it, kind of like giving back at the 5K. Mm-hmm. So right after, you know, Antarctica, we jumped in the plane and we got to Chile and we got off the plane. You know, had a chance to warm up and ran 26.2. And then from Chile for the rest of the 6 marathons, we had a chartered plane. So everything was on the plane. We would be able to take off our luggage for what we needed to either shower or change for the next run. Some of these people, the Asian runners, decided there was one man that stayed in his clothes all 7 days. Wow. So you can imagine what this plane smelled like. First of all, after some of us got done running, you know, the sweat in Dubai, which I'll get to, you know, so it wasn't pretty, but it was fun. So in Chile, we ran 26.2 and immediately, you know, got some food and got on this chartered plane because the clock was ticking. Mm-hmm. As soon as he hit the button in Antarctica, the clock was ticking. So we ran in Chile and that was a great run. We had a lot of people come out and support us. Again, loops around. Mm-hmm. And then from Chile, we went to United States and I got to see my family. We ran in South Beach.
Oh, nice.
It was hot.
Right.
And, you know, the best thing about South Beach is I had about 35 friends and my sponsor come out and also the foundation came out. But the best thing was my parents and my family. Mm-hmm. My niece was there with my parents. And my father, he didn't understand that we were doing loops. So each time I was doing a loop, of course, he was there and he was cheering me on. And he's in his 80s. He said, "Can you hurry up? I'm hungry. I want to go get something to eat." I'm like, "Daddy, there is no way I have time to eat. I'm getting on a plane right after this." He did not believe me. Mm. He thought that I'd have time. You know, after a marathon, we go and get food and we talk about my run. But it was great. And there was a girl that had come down to run with me. That was a big Ryan Hall runner, but she didn't want to leave me. And I said, "Why don't you go, you know, run with Ryan?" Because, there, you know, he had supporters out there, but she wanted to meet him and she ended up running with him. So again, that's how great, you know, Ryan Hall, gold mm-hmm. medalist, Olympic. And he was just having a great time. So when we left, Miami, very quickly. I actually missed a friend that was flying in and we were just so quick. Mm-hmm. He missed seeing me. So we went from Miami and we went to Spain. And Spain by far was my favorite marathon. And only when I say favorite, it was favorite course. Okay. And it was because it was a hill. It was up and down and up mm-hmm. and down. So the loops that we did were hills, and I like that. I like to go up and then come down to recover. And that was my fastest marathon. And it was the most beautiful marathon. It reminded me of my hometown with all the trees that we ran in a park. And it was just stunning. And in Spain, Miami, every continent except Antarctica, but I did a Skype in Antarctica. I did interviews. So mm-hmm. it was just great that the TV cameras were out in United States and Spain and the rest of the continents. But Spain was pretty special because I had someone that from New York that lives in Spain now that supports one of my kids that I fight for. And that was cool. So from Spain, then we went to Africa, to Marrakesh.
Okay.
And that was interesting. It was hot, but it wasn't that bad. But the problem is how you dress. And I didn't want to take too much off the top and run like in a sports bra being a woman with the heat. So I kept a shirt on. I was hot. But over there where we were running was half road, half, you know, sidewalk. And some of the runners would go on the road. And I was behind the lady that was running in first place, and these mopeds would come along. Now, when that's their mode of transportation, but they just don't have two people on there. Mm-hmm. They have a whole family on there. They stick the baby in the front, and then, you know, there's three people on this little moped. But then we got some of these men that didn't want to see women running. And they were on the mopeds, and there was about three or four guys on one moped, and they would kick their leg out to try to hit us to make us fall. And they did get the girl that was running in front of me. She was from Italy. She was great. I loved her. But she did fall. She got up. And then they swerved to try to get me. But then I got back on the sidewalk. But they just didn't want to see it. Mm. And the other cool thing about Marrakesh was there was a lady that came out in full garb, except for she had running shoes on. And she wanted to run with the USA girl.
Wow.
So, like Antarctica, I had this lady and she was asking me questions and I was asking her, you know, why are these guys doing this on the moped? And then I would hear these words that I didn't understand in their language. And she was telling me what they were saying. And I thought, oh, this is not good. Mm. So speed this up and get it over with.
Right.
Cause they just didn't want to see women, exercising in the public or mm-hmm. doing that, which I understand. But, so that was an interesting marathon.
Right.
And then from there we went, so we're on number four that now, number five was, Maya number four. So we went to Spain, Africa. No, I'm on number six.
Yeah,
Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's six. So Dubai, we get there. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, you just wanted to touch everything.
Really?
It was, everything's gold, you know, and it's huge and it's built and, you know, just infrastructure. You think it's like when your first time in Times Square, you're like, oh my God. But this is like 20 times that. And it's all just stunning gold colors and glass. But the problem with Dubai, it was over 110 degrees at minimum. And we ran loops along the beach area in an uncovered area. So we had no shade at all. And this is where I saw an even better side of these athletes that were so much more impressive than me, where they were giving us, as soon as they were running faster, because my pace, of course, slowed down, they were grabbing ice at the turnaround and giving it to people like myself.
Oh, wow.
There was a blind lady running. And so, I mean, they took their time out of their fast pace to assist us. Again, we just had the great, you know, teamwork to try to get everyone through it. So Dubai was definitely the hottest. And then we get on the plane. Again, the only place I was able to take a shower was in Africa. And that was just lovely. It just felt so good. I had my hair braided throughout the whole thing to save it, so I didn't have to wash it, of course. But just to get that stench off was like great. But then you get back in the airplane, and some people didn't take advantage of that. So then we take a long flight from Dubai to Sydney, Australia. Now, on this flight, the race director, who I mentioned was Richard Donovan, had stressed that a guy that had done this World Marathon Challenge in the past wanted to give back financially to people that had charities that were running or to a charity of their choice. So all of us competitors, there was 22, I believe, not all of us completed it, but 22 of us had to vote on each other as a teammate of who they thought was the best sportsmanship throughout the 6-7 days that we spent together. And this gentleman gave away three different awards with amounts of a couple thousand dollars each. I mean, it was a very substantial amount to people. And we voted on each other. And you voted on three people. And at the end, when we got in Australia, we found out who won those. So we'll get to that in a minute. But it was a long flight. And you have to remember that I'm dealing with brain tumor. Mm-hmm. So on these flights, I'm getting an IV. So we would hang the IVs from the overhead compartment, and I would lay there and just take it in. And of course, these IVs were just they actually just gave me a burst of energy too. So, I mean, on top of that, it was great to have. And people on the plane had those compression socks where they were not just the socks, but the ones that inflate the and air, deflate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the air ones. So we were sharing that as well, which was wonderful. But the long flight, it was good that my doctor had supplied me extra IVs because, unfortunately, one of the gentlemen had an issue where he was either dehydrated or a heart issue. And they actually used a couple of my IVs to get him. And then off of the when we got and landed in Australia, they took him to the hospital just to get checked. And then he came back and ended up running. So we got to Australia around midnight and started running.
Wow.
And that was crazy. I really wanted to see Australia, and I saw it from, you know, darkness at first.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very special marathon, not only because it was the last marathon of the 7 marathon challenge, but a gentleman came out, and I had never met him, but he had heard about me. And where we were running along the beach and doing loops, he had been waiting since 10 o'clock that night for us to get there and to meet me. There was a cliff that overlooked the ocean there in the beach. And at the top of the cliff, there was a bunch of buildings. And they looked, you know, almost like office medical buildings. And he had come out because his son had most recently died by one of the worst kind of brain tumors a child could develop. And he ended up spending his last few weeks at the place on the hill, which was called the Bear House. This is so hard for me to get out because I had such great support and I knew why I was there. And I was running for all these people that couldn't do it, especially to raise the amount of money that I was able to raise to find a cure for brain tumors and brain cancer. And he came out and he stayed the entire time. Wow. Each loop he was there, he was giving me water. And he wanted to run, but he wasn't a runner. And he was there because he knew I was there for his child. And when I finished, I just wanted to do like five more laps. And on this race, I was pleased to say I beat Ryan Hall. So that's a little tidbit that I use against him. So I beat an Olympic runner on this race, but he actually was finished. You know, these people, they train for just one race, right, to explode and just win it. And this was just like, he completed it, but he was like, man, this is too much. Mm-hmm. So I got across the finish line. It was very emotional. I mean, I wanted to go to another continent if there was one and keep running. And I picked up the American flag and I looked at my shoes that were painted by a child. And I knew that this was what I needed to do. And I was thinking about what's next. And I sat down on the little step there by the beach. And I was wondering what I could give this man, Jerry, that came out for his son. And I looked down at my shoes, and again, I was telling you about these shoes. I was sponsored by New Balance, and they gave me 13 pairs of shoes. So if you figure that out, I wore two different pairs of shoes on each marathon. And I was able to, you know, switch out every half marathon to a new pair of shoes. And what we did on social media is we sent out a template, and people submitted drawings for the shoe and what continent they wanted the shoe to run on. And then the foundation, ABC Squared, picked out the running pictures. And then an artist that is also a full-time fireman that I trained with right here at the Pentagon area then took those designs and put them on the shoes.
Wow.
They were absolutely stunning. And people picked up that. Michael actually asked him. I told Michael about it. He did some, you know, he's sponsored by Hoka. So he got them done. And since has other pairs done. Mm-hmm. So I looked down at my shoes and I'm thinking, I can't give them the one that the child painted, because some of them were even painted pictures of their child's last drawing. Oh, I had a lady that had submitted that for the family. So I gave him the one that had Australia painted on it, and he took it. And that was his souvenir. So I came home with 13 minus one half shoe pairs, which New Balance will take back. But also when I crossed the finish line in Australia, like I said, to get back to the Sportsmanship Awards, Richard came up to me to give me all my medals that I had deserved over the 7 days and in the time frame. But then he gave me a piece of paper, and it was a certificate that I was chosen by my peers that were racing for a sportsmanship award. So I was able to give back to the brain tumor community a nice chunk of change, mm-hmm, on top of everything that I had collected to be able to do that. But I think that's the proudest moment I had other than completing it, because I knew when my father would find out that I won the sportsmanship award, it's like when I lettered in high school,
right,
and in college, you know, you get those letters. It's like I saw my dad light up, and I just knew that that would be a highlight for him.
Yeah, certainly.
So that nutshell was my great 7 days. And I'll tell you what, I didn't feel any type of time change. I looked at my watch just for, you know, my heart rate or, mm-hmm, you know, what my pace was, which I was trying to keep with my trainer yelling at me, via email and stuff. But I didn't feel anything until 2 days later when we were headed to see the Opera House in Sydney before I flew back, 'cause I had, interviews back here in the States. I crashed. I mean, I wiped out. I think my legs were half on the bed and half on the floor. You know, I was just, it hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine 7 days in a row, but on top of that, the travel and, you know, you're not getting the same quality rest that you would get if you were able to, you know, do 7 days in a row, but stay at home or something like that. So I think it makes sense that at some point, you know, that adrenaline wears off or the excitement or whatever. And yeah, I mean, crashing is going to be inevitable and something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I had all these interviews lined up with live, you know, world news and, you know, television, all this. So I was like, how am I going to do this? I was dragging. But then when I got back to the States and I saw people and I started telling my story, it's just like something just grew in me and I had the energy again. So, I mean, I did crash. It was just a slight crash, but I was pleased to raise, you know, throughout my 15 years, I hit the $1 million mark doing this event.
Congratulations.
And that was a huge thing. Thank you. That was a huge achievement for me because I always had told people when I first got diagnosed that I wanted to be the Susan Komen for brain cancer. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting there. At least I meet, you know, as an individual, $1 million, thanks to my great supporters and friends and family and doing, you know, podcasts like this. It just helps to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, first of all, I'm happy to be able to help spread the word a little bit and yep. You know, do some little part in helping you continue to fight the fight and, you know, do what you're doing. You know, I feel like in the time that we talked before this time and kind of following along a little bit on social media, things that you're doing, that, you know, you're not one to just kind of rest on the laurels. And you know, I don't know if there's something much bigger than doing 7 marathons around the world in 7 days time, but I have to ask, I'm going to assume that there's something else that's going to be coming. There's another challenge out there to do. Is there, can we talk about it, or are things still in the planning mode, or what's, I guess maybe what's next for you and the fight to continue to raise money and awareness for brain cancer?
That's a great question. And one that I get from everyone, of course, but, you know, what is bigger than running 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days? Now I do have to tell you that, a gentleman that says he has a race that is 8 marathons, 8 continents, 8 days has contacted me to do that. And my question to him was, can you please tell me what the 8th continent
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I feel like I missed that in all through school and whatnot.
In geography, yeah. Right. And I'm pretty schooled in that area. So there's some controversy with this gentleman. And of course, you know, I would love to do the 7 marathons again because they changed the direction of the course as far as how, you know, the continents, and they ended up in USA, which is awesome.
Right.
But doing 8 marathons is not sanctioned. I need to do something that's sanctioned, you know, to like now be in the Guinness Book of World Records or say that I was the second female to run around the world. And Richard is sanctioned and this other one isn't. But yeah, there is something that's in the planning stages. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up. I have to definitely get more approval from my doctor. Edgar is acting up, which of course, Edgar, you said is my brain tumor. So this event would take me to an elevation that's a little bit more than someone with a brain tumor probably can handle. So we'll have to really look into my MRIs and my state right now. But it's something that is very interesting and very alluring to me. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, my biggest thing coming back was the 5K and doing the Boston and, you know, spreading the word about this and telling people, look, you can do a 5K. You can run 3.2 miles. Run, walk it, or just walk it. And, you know, maybe your aspirations will go farther with, you know, a marathon or a 50K or even around the world, which is amazing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we're getting kind of close to wrapping up, Bethann, I think where I'd love to kind of steer this for the last, you know, however, 10 minutes or something like that, that we've got here, to the idea of, you know, like you said, now in the 15 years or so, you've helped raise $1 million for a cause that obviously has affected you personally, very near and dear to you. But for those that are listening that are open to the idea, and I would count myself among them, of doing a charity race at some point or doing something beyond just, I'm just going to run the local 5K that supports XYZ. And again, not to talk down on that, but maybe just to take the next step, go a little bit bigger, raise thousands of dollars instead of, you know, a $30 entry fee or something like that. But again, kind of using myself as the example, maybe have been a little bit nervous about the fundraising component of asking people for money, because I mean, we all know running friends that have done these races, and a lot of us have given money to various people to support these, and you can't give money to everybody because eventually you run out. So for somebody like me, somebody that else that's listening, that's in a similar situation of, you know, somewhere in the next, you know, 6 to 18 months, wouldn't mind doing a charity race and finding the right one and do something that, that is meaningful to you. Can you give us some suggestions, some thoughts, some tips on ways to do that? A, to make it, I don't know, to make it easier, if easier is the right word, to raise money, to ask, you know, whether it's just being willing to ask or whatever it is, but just, I guess where I'm trying to go is the fundraising component, something that you've done, you continue to do, for somebody like me who would be interested in doing that, what's the best way to get started other than to just jump in and do it? Maybe that is the best way. I don't know. But is there a good way to kind of go down that route and become somebody who has run for a cause instead of just somebody who might want to do it someday?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I get asked that question a lot from people that are starting out or just have been diagnosed. And I'm talking a wide range, just not brain cancer, mm-hmm. other serious illnesses. Or most recently, I was asked by a police officer who wants to run Chicago for, you know, fallen officers. So what I tell people is, first of all, if you're not a runner, find a plan, a training plan. Just don't go out there and don't go to Dick's Sporting Goods or go online and buy a pair of shoes. Get fitted, especially if you're running a longer distance and you're doing a lot of training. It is so important. Our feet take a pounding in this. So, I mean, I give them a variety of information of how to go about this. But first of all, you know, what's your distance? Is it a 5K? If it's a 5K and you really want to run it and you want to train for it and get healthy, again, get fitted for shoes, wear the appropriate gear, and get a great training plan. Then, you know, if you're trying to get into these charity races that you know, you have to raise $1,500 to get in New York City or Chicago or whatever, or it's a 5K for breast cancer, colon cancer, you know, find someone with a story. If it's your own story, it's going to be easy because it comes from your heart and it's something that you truly, it's meaningful for you. And people want to hear your story and they want to know that you're not perfect. I mean, people look at me and they don't think that I'm sick, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes, you know, not driving, seizures. Mm-hmm. They want to hear the good days, but they also want to hear the bad days. And write up your story and post it on a fundraising page and why you're doing it, why it means a lot, and that you might struggle. And, you know, maybe sponsor for every mile that you do, especially if it's a longer distance. That's a good way to make people pledge, is by mile. Because, you know, you might get out there and only get through the half marathon, or with a 5K you can run walk it or do it for a time. But the best way is to find a great story and a true story. Sometimes people come out with stories and, you know, they fabricate it a little bit in the press or whatever, but you need to find a story. And again, if it comes from the heart, it's going to be good. And write it up and say why you're doing this. If it's about a loved one, say what you miss or what you love about that person that is still alive or is gone. And that drives people to give. And you have to realize that $1 is good as $100, because it's $1 closer to finding a cure. A lot of people, especially in the community that I'm in, you know, they just don't have the money to continue to give and give. So once in a while, I'll get thrown a five, and that's just as big to me than a huge donor check, because these people want to give something and they want to be a part of your community. And take others in. Like with the brain tumor community, I've taken in hundreds of children. And when I say take them in, I've taken them and their family in, and I've made them a part of my journey. I've had them decorate my shoes. I've had them send me notes. I have included them like they're going to be there right in the run. And that's very important too when you're fundraising. Make those people that are also suffering from the cause that you're raising funds for, make them a part of your run. Run for someone or a cause, and then find people that you can bring into it that maybe are still in the hospital bed or have left this world, and you want to dedicate it to the family. And I think that's so important. And again, like I said, it's just not cancers or deadly diseases. We have fallen soldiers. Mm-hmm. We have the veterans, of course, are huge here in D.C. And then the police officers. We just got off of Police Week. And I mean, they just do some amazing things. And people do want to give to charity. And it's, you know, it's easier than you think.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear, because like I said, it's been something that's been rattling around in my brain for a while, and you know, just it always kind of comes down to that, like, you know, asking for money thing is yep. just kind of scary sometimes. So, but I like what you said about having this story, because that means it's to me, and you can hopefully corroborate with this. That means it's a bit more of really giving to the cause instead of giving to the person. Cause you know, you're asking for money and people are giving quote unquote you money. Like it may not feel like it's as always going right to the cause, but when you have the story, you have that, like, for you, these are my struggles. These are the things that, you know, I look normal and healthy, but inside there's something that's going on, and I have my good days and bad days. It really makes it more, at least I hope, makes it more, easy to ask to help, not just you, but helping everybody that has the same cause. And if you have that connection to whatever it is that you're training for, running for, raising money for, in theory, it's just going to make it that much easier to do the ask, because you're asking for something much bigger than just help me run XYZ race for whatever a good cause, but you're really putting it out there that it's for something bigger than just you.
Yeah. And again, like the seven marathons and seven continents, 7 days, that wasn't about me. It was about raising funds and awareness. And for these kids that I ran for, or that, you know, there was adults, but mostly kids is what I fight for. And when I post things on social media, it is, you know, just the other day, celebrating a 10th birthday for a child that was supposed to be dead 3 years ago. Wow. That's a milestone. And so I celebrate that by putting it on my page. And of course, you know, with what I've done, I have a lot of followers and people follow these kids now. So, you know, that's why I do these things, is for these kids. So I'll post their MRIs, which are huge to anyone going through the cancer mm-hmm. community, but I'll post my own and I'll show them that, yeah, I cry, but I have to do the same thing. And I'm going through the same thing, and I want to show these kids, because families get on there and they look at my site and they show their children, look, Beth Ann's having her MRI today. Let's think about her today. Mm. But I also want to show them that I'm not as strong all every day, right. That I'm weak too. And it's okay to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'm not even going to try to muddy that up a little bit. I think that even that might even be the best way to just kind of wrap this up, is that we all, you know, whatever projection you put out there, we're all human and we all have those moments of weakness, yes. and those moments of struggle, yes, running, life and otherwise, we all have those moments, and you don't need, no need to suffer alone. Other people are out there too, and
that's right,
we can help support each other when we're strong, help somebody who's having a down patch. So instead of doing a philosophical question, I think that was a philosophical answer to a non-philosophical question. So we'll just go ahead and wrap things up right there. Once again, guys, teambt.org is the website. At hope is my word, with the dots in between. So at hope.is.my.word on Instagram, and at teambt2010 on the Twitter. Dizruns.com/582 is the link to the show notes for this episode, and we'll have all of Beth Ann's contact information linked up there, as well as the link back to episode 264, where we chatted for the first time. If you missed that one, definitely would encourage you to check it out, and hopefully you can get past my monotone delivery in that episode. I was still figuring out how to do this somewhat, hopefully, entertainingly, but Beth Ann delivered the goods, as you would expect. So episode 264, if you want to check that one out. Beth Ann, thank you for taking the time, for coming back. Certainly wish you nothing but the best, continued good health. Hopefully the whatever's going on with Edgar right now will calm back down, and you can get back to focusing on doing what you do best, which is helping, inspiring, raising money, raising awareness, all of those things. And once we get clearance to talk about whatever is next, whatever the next thing is, whether it's what you got cooking right now or whether it's something else, let's not wait 2 years to do this again. Let's circle back up and fight the good fight as much as we can together.
Yeah, that's a promise. And for those of that are listening that are trying to do a fundraiser, they want to reach out to me. Of course, you supplied everything. And also, if they have questions about brain cancer, brain tumors, it's great to go to abc2.org to find out more information. But Denny, I really appreciate it. And of course, you know, I would love to come back when I know what I'm going to be doing and chat more and try to help others.
Absolutely. We'll make it happen. Thanks so much, Bethann.
You're very welcome.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Bethann and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was something that we talked about today that made a little lasting impression on you? Always love to hear those things. So let me know. For me, the big takeaway was maybe less of a moment and just kind of an overall theme throughout our conversation. That is the idea of just looking for ways to do good. You know, obviously Bethann is doing some big things. You know, the 7 marathons thing, huge. You know, what she does with supporting her charity and you know, trying to find a prevention and a cure ultimately for brain cancer. I mean, she's doing things at a big level. And I think that sometimes it can be easy to look at the stuff that she's doing and others like her, whether it's with brain cancer, whether it's with other charities, other causes, and think, God, like, I can't do that. I mean, she's raised $1 million in, you know, whatever it is, it's 15 years, 18 years, something like that. I forget the number, but you know, she's raised $1 million in her time of fundraising for finding a cure for brain cancer. And it's easy to look at that and be like, well, I couldn't do that. And A, don't sell yourself short, but B, just because you can't do $1 million, just because you can't fundraise for $1 million, doesn't mean that you can't do anything. So just look for ways to do good. Look for ways to support the charities that mean a lot to you. I mean, all for the most part, all charities are great, but you know, we can't support all of them. But the ones that are most important to you, find ways, whether it's charity miles, whether it's running, you know, a race, whether it's volunteering at an event, whether it's being a charity runner at a big race. I mean, whatever it is, there's so many options out there. But even beyond that, you know, things like just helping each other out, helping fellow man, fellow woman out, you know, helping your fellow runners, directing traffic, whatever the case might be. You know, there's a lot going on in this world, and I'm not, you know, not going to start weighing in on all kinds of geopolitical debates here today, but there's a lot of things going on in the world that, you know, are kind of scary, a little bit frightening. And I think we could all use a little pick-me-up once in a while. So, you know, if you can find a way to do good for somebody else, to help somebody else out, to look out for somebody else, that'll find its way back to you. And even if it doesn't, it just feels good to help people out. So, you know, find a way and never stop looking for ways that you can be of service to others. That's just kind of my takeaway, a little Good Samaritan type of thought today. But boy, I think the world could use a little bit more of each other helping each other out. So that's my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode. Leave your thoughts, feedbacks, comments, and whatnot there as well. And once again, the link for today is DizRuns.com/582. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. One last time, if there's anything I can do to help you out with getting ready for your fall races, from the book to the training plans to the coaching, let me know. DizRuns.com/coaching has all the information. Be ready on race day for all the information about the book and whatever I can do. You know, I live for this stuff. I love helping folks out. Love working with you know, my athletes on at each level. You know, it's not like one is better than the other. It's just, you know, where you are, what you need, and whatever I can do to help you, I would love to do it. So let me know if there's anything I can do. And now, let's put a bow on this thing. Thank you guys for listening. I really, really appreciate y'all listening, sharing, talking about the show, promoting the show. It means so much. And I just thank you for all that you do for me. Hopefully I can give back a fraction of what you guys give to me. So have a great rest of the day. Thank you guys again for listening, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.